Welcome to another episode of Adding Up the Podcast. I'm your host, Serena Dot Ryan. This is episode Staying in Control of Your Finances. It is an interesting topic, as always, and one that focuses on my lived experience. I am not a financial advisor or an accountant. Everything I share is from my lived experience as I have been learning how to do better with what I have and get out of debt. I have got a history of always being able to service debt, but that has always come at a cost. So to get better educated around this, it is taking me from being obligated to forever having debt to getting myself debt free and working better with what I have. Resourcefulness is key. But I've learned we are always limited by what we know. I'm consistently learning, reading, and talking to people to find better ways and creative ways of doing better with what I have. It's a fun journey that at times has been very raw, real, and very challenging. This episode is focusing on really the irony of trying to control things when so many things are out of my control. We have got a consistent upswing at the moment of interest rates and inflation, which have been adding a strain to what I've been able to do to make our budget go further. And I think it's important to talk about. I'm going to share a few ways I'm working with what I can control so that I can minimize the impact of the things I can't control. Quite successfully, this past couple of weeks, we've been able to get a renegotiation on our mortgage interest rate. And that has been fantastic. A 1.59% discount on what we were paying. It means that it's still more than what we were paying before interest rates started going up, but it is better. And I am relieved, but there's many more other things that can be done that I'm working through as well. And it really comes down to the name of this podcast, Adding Up. Little changes add up to big differences. So I will get through in this podcast a few more ways that I'm making the most of what we have to stay in control. And before I do, I love to share three highlights that I've been able to make the most of. And for me, these three highlights always cover my best saving, my best learning, and money bravery. My best saving. Seriously, beyond the interest rate savings I've just talked about, walking the dog may sound like a really simple thing, but for me, walking my dog means that our dog is exercised, I'm exercised, I'm not paying for our gym membership that I often joked was a donation to the gym because it was hard for me to get to, and therefore it was easy to make excuses to not go. I'm not actually paying for that. And the other benefit is the dog is more settled of an evening. If I don't walk our dog, she is often quite hyper and jumping over everyone and expecting a lot more attention. Taking her out for a walk exhausts her. I get better sleep. She gets better sleep, and it's not actually costing an additional strain on our budget by me paying for a gym membership. I've never gone down the path of paying for a dog walker, but I'd like to think I'm saving the money because I don't need the dog to go and be exercised as well because I'm doing the exercising. And there's nothing better than getting out in the great outdoors when you can as well. All of that was brought forward to me as my biggest saving this week because the compound effect of that is the kids are currently on school holidays and they love the idea of taking the dog out for a walk as well. And it becomes an activity that we're not actually paying for in school holidays. And if you're a parent like I am, it's a real challenge to find things that don't cost a fortune but take the kids out. And it's a really slippery slope of paying for activities to take the kids out that can really blow the budget. So the simple thing of taking the dog for a walk is amazing. And this week I'm going to take that even further, and we'll take the dog to the park and throw a ball around as well. I've tried taking the dog to a dog specific park, but the funny thing is our dog is not interested in socializing. She's not aggressive with other dogs. It's more she's disinterested. She would rather play with us as her family than other dogs. So it's about taking her to a park where I can let her loose and we can actually have fun where there aren't other dogs around. So I'm going to research that a little bit to see where I can take her, because I'm conscious of, well, not doing it where we shouldn't be as well. That's the challenge with dogs and public spaces. My best learning, having a routine with choice. Leading on from taking the dog for a walk in school holidays and being an activity we're not paying for by taking the kids out, having a routine with choice is actually helping the kids immensely and our budget at the same time. If I tell them we're going somewhere, the immediate response is no, they don't want to go anywhere. I have learned this week that if I give them choices on what to do, they're more receptive to the idea. And that is something I'm focusing on. So, for example, I say we have to do an activity out of the house every day because I'm working with, literally working and doing my work from home and making sure I'm not just in my office all day working, but we're having a balance of activities together. And that means when I give them routine with choice, say, okay, a daily activity can be going swimming. It can be riding the bikes or riding the scooters or taking the dog for a walk. And they get to choose which activity. And we've found that we can even combine a couple of those activities. They ride the scooters, I walk the dog, and then we're all happy and we're out of the house. And the swimming is not necessarily going to a public pool, but we're very fortunate to have family that have a pool in their backyard that we can go visit and they go for a swim. And they combine that with an activity, social, and being able to see other family members as well. Being able to give them choice means they're more receptive, and that routine that we've got in place means that I'm able to budget for it. And we can still maybe go somewhere and get an ice cream, but not do that every day, and allow us to have the choice there means we're not doing the same thing every day and I'm not blowing the budget. It's a really different way to frame things. And I'm finding I'm getting a lot more success there, and it's not blowing our family budget, which is a good thing. Now, money bravery. Had a real big think about this one, and something that hit me, well, not literally this week, but figuratively. If you don't have all the facts, you can't make an informed decision. Case in point, we're planning a holiday and I was talking with my husband about going on holiday and talking about places we haven't been before, and immediately the thought of shutting down the idea before we even explored it further has put us in a situation of going, well, we don't know how much it's going to cost, so how can you say no to it straight away? An assumption that's going to be expensive without actually having investigated the costs means that we're not open to the opportunity of making the best possible decision. So we haven't made a decision on the holiday yet, but rather I'm in research phase to take the time to get the quotes to work out whether it's feasible. And when we have all the facts in front of us, based on how much we have income coming in, how much budget we have, and how much the holidays can cost, then we can make an informed decision. So instead of rushing to make the decision, we are allowing the research and getting all the facts first to be able to make a fully informed decision. Now, this week's episode, it's an interesting topic. As always, I find if it's something that's been on my mind, potentially others may have it on their mind as well. Staying in control of finances is something that's popped up for me a fair bit over the last couple of weeks. It's been the end of year and I've had a whole 2 weeks out of the office to clear my head and have a bit more time to think about what on earth we could or should be doing and want to do. The pressure to earn money is stronger than ever. And I was thinking, why is that? Having interest rates go up and inflation go up has meant that what my salary was for 2022 is not necessarily going as far now in 2023. That in itself is a challenge. I had to stop and think, do I really need to earn more or can I do better with what I have? And I have sat there and spent a bit of time figuring out what is it that is in our budget and do we still need it there? And my suggestion, definitely won't tell him what to do. It's more this podcast is about sparking curiosity in you to investigate and be aware of your own financial circumstances and potentially ask more informed questions of those who you're going to for professional advice. Is it something that you really still need, or is there another way that you could be getting it? Because an assumption can be, even with all things staying equal, with interest rates not going up, with inflation staying the same, we can go into a state of just assuming, oh, well, we'll just keep things ticking over the same way and stop looking for opportunities to save money and still get what we want. It's a really valuable time now to actually review what it is you're currently having in your budget and is there a way to adjust it? Classic can be you want to eat healthy or healthier or spend less money on food. Having the opportunity to grow a garden that is edible can mean that you're having an opportunity to spend less on groceries. So the concern is that the cost of fruit and vegetables is going up. What could you be growing in your backyard that could save you money so you're not having to spend as much? We have chickens in our backyard. I'm currently, they're pet chickens who I have, well, they lay eggs, which is a huge bonus. If you're someone who likes eggs, I do also recommend that you investigate whether it's suitable for you to have chickens in your backyard as well. They make great pets. Now, we've had our lovely chickens here for a few years and they're a bit older, so not laying as many eggs. It's at a point now, do we get more chickens to ensure we have enough eggs? Because eggs for us, they become a part of our diet, which means that if I'm not getting the chickens laying them in the backyard, we then need to look at buying more. So chickens are actually quite economical as a pet. There is a local farm that I'm deciding at the moment whether we go and get a couple more. Otherwise, I've got to start buying eggs. And it's worth thinking about those things, like what foods in your diet could you actually end up having in your backyard? Unless you live on a farm, living in suburbia, like we're in a no-crow zone, so I can't have roosters, so I need to look at ways to actually get chickens only in our backyard, if that's what I'm going to go down the path of doing. And it's worth sitting in that space. Like the benefit for us has also been that the chickens were our kids' first pets. And that also means that we have pets and pets actually teach kids valuable skills to look after someone or something other than themselves. And they become members of your family. And it's working out what suits your circumstances and whether you do or don't get them is my point. But assess what's in your diet, then assess how you could actually then make it yourself is where I'm coming from. The other thing that I found is amazing cost saver and that kids love, and it's healthier, so there's so many benefits, is to me doing some more baking at home. And that's something that I really didn't do as much of in 2022, and I'm looking at doing more again in 2023. These are the things I can control, and that's the thing. We have an assumption there's a lot out of our hands. If you sit and listen to a lot of mainstream news and you get worried about interest rates and these trigger points about our budgeting, how you can calm down and how I tend to calm down is look for the ways that I can control to make it easier with our budget. And it's important to not go to an automatic default that you have to get more money in the door. It's how do you make the most of the money you have to go further so you can do better with what you have. And having that premise, having that as something that is a cornerstone for who I am and what I do now for over 4 years has meant that I protect myself to a certain extent from any of the fluctuations of things that I literally cannot control. I want to look for different ways to do things and affordable ways to do things, and that means not automatically going to spend money on things if I can help it. It's worth researching and seeing what else you can get out there for free or at a subsidized cost. And this means you don't necessarily have to be going and looking for coupons to start cutting those or always getting discounts. But looking for creative ways to do things can actually be really beneficial. I found having the Service New South Wales app on my phone, and Service New South Wales is, well, I'm based in New South Wales in Australia. They are releasing benefits all the time and discounts all the time. Coming into school time now, and well, getting ready for the school year, they have these vouchers to return to school, so I've made a point of getting those vouchers and accessing those, and I get $150 worth of vouchers per child, and I'm working out what I'll be using those vouchers for now, in the cost to actually get the kids ready with all their school supplies for school. And that's just one example. If I'm making the most of those vouchers, that means that money otherwise, it's $300 I literally have to allocate to other expenses and opportunities. So it's worth discovering what those things are and seeing what else you can gain access to. If you have got school-aged children and you are in New South Wales, make sure you get your back-to-school vouchers if they apply to you. I'm also looking at the Active Kids vouchers, which they give you $100 per child per 6 months to be able to go and enroll your kid in a sports team or sporting activity. And that's fantastic. My kids this week, as a part of school holidays, have just participated in art classes because the Creative Kids vouchers were released last year. And I got $100 per child to go and do creative arts. They've done arts classes that have been paid for by the New South Wales government. So when you start to look, it's worth being able to register for the things that apply to you and get access to those savings. Staying in control with finances, I would say the other aspect for me is just being super aware. Something that seems really almost simple and something that I didn't do regularly prior to making the most of the money I have now, and that has been to plan my meals. Planning my meals is twofold. I plan the meal and have an idea of how much I'm going to cook, and if I have excess left over, that I'm either freezing it or I'm making sure that those leftovers are used for the following day's meal. This week I cooked a chicken roast. And no, it wasn't our pet chickens, I might add. I bought the chicken roast independently from our backyard. And the point is, we're able to use it for a dinner and lunch the next day for my husband and I. Basically, all four of us had it for dinner one night. My husband and I had it for lunch the next day, and the kids actually had other sandwiches that didn't use up the roast. That night for dinner, there was a little bit left, so it was really one serve, and I cooked bolognese. So I actually had, with the pasta, I actually had what was remaining of the roast with the pasta and veggies, and the other three family members got to have the bolognese because I make a point of not just cooking a meal and having leftovers that get binned. I want to make the point that all leftovers get used up. And that may mean that some of our meals, we're not all eating the same food, but we're making a point that the leftovers get used. When I've started to look at my leftovers as money, and they are money, they're just in the form of food, then I want to make a point of making sure it gets used up. And by doing that, I'm actually cutting down the cost of how much our groceries cost as well. I don't think that gets talked about enough, is making a point that we don't waste the food that we're ordering. I make a point of not necessarily planning every single meal, but I plan to have enough food for a number of meals that then over the course of a week will be eaten. And if I can make that a almost a game for myself, it means I have more control over our finances and making sure that I'm not wasting money. I hate with a passion seeing food go from the fridge to the bin because that tells me I'm throwing money away. And I would say that's one of my biggest things when it comes to controlling what we have, making sure that I'm not wasting food, because then that will also be a negative for us. The other aspect for me, and this sounds so simple again, is making sure I'm turning off lighting. And I make a point of using up as much natural light as I can through our house. And we have had solar installed, so that does also reduce our bill for our electricity. And that also helps when I am using electricity for when I'm recording videos like this one. I have to balance everything. And when I can look at everything through the lens of how can I make the most of what I have that I have control of, then the things that I don't have control of become easier. And I say easier because it is not that it's all easy. We have to keep looking at everything consistently and regularly to make the most of what we have, to do better and be kind to ourselves in knowing that it's not always going to be perfect. I don't really think there is a way of saying it could or would be perfect, but it will be better and it will be easier. I have got a very special announcement to make with this podcast. I'm very aware that for 94 episodes now, I've been sharing my money story. I have dabbled a bit in talking to a couple of other people with regards to money in the very early first episodes of this podcast. And I then saw the value in making sure that this story was really contained with what I wanted to share about my lived experience. I have now seen myself go through a journey of having a lot of debt to reducing that debt significantly. And interestingly enough, with this podcast, I've also had people periodically reaching out to me to share their money stories. In 2022, I was published as a co-author in a book called The Sacred Promise. And in there, I shared my journey of what breaks my heart and my sacred promise to enable financial literacy for women. And part of this, and the important part of this announcement, is that I've decided that after 94 episodes, this podcast will be ending at 100 episodes. And it will be superseded with a new podcast that is coming where I will be interviewing people on their money stories. If you're interested in being showcased, I really want to showcase lived experience and experts who can support those who are struggling with their financial literacy and wanting to do better. If you'd like to be interviewed on that podcast, do reach out to me via the link in the show notes. I want to enable as many people as possible to do better with what they have and feel supported for their well-being. And to do better, I believe we all gain when everyone is financially confident. So the next few episodes of this podcast, I'll definitely be sharing my highlights over the last almost 100 episodes of the Adding Up podcast and be doing call outs for anyone who'd like to be interviewed for the new podcast that is coming on Money Stories. Have a great week and know that every change you make adds up to incredible opportunities and differences.